know what you just said? You just said, I'm walking in the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
You made that decision that you're going to walk in the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what's going on in your life, in the world, whatever. Walk in the joy of the Lord. We're going to talk about how to stay in that place. In fact, if you're taking notes today, the title of this message is Standing in the Supernatural. Doesn't that sound good? Standing in the supernatural. Now, what do I mean by standing in the supernatural? This is where we live, you know, as Marcia talked about those scriptures of who we are in Christ Jesus. We have already been made the righteousness of God.
Amen.
That means that we are the very nature of God. But we have to stand in that. We have to. Sometimes it's a good fight of faith. But it's a good fight of faith. That's what the Word of God says. Because the reason it's a good fight of faith, it's always good when you know that the outcome is in your favor. All the answers are yes and amen. All
amen.
The promises of God are yes and amen. Mm-hmm. They never pass away. They're always, always the same. So if you have your Bibles, or Richard probably has this one for me up here. It's the only King James I use, because you know I use a lot of King James, but
we've got
a couple of different versions here today,
but
this one is. So, therefore, being justified by faith, justified means that we've been separated, set
where
apart for a purpose in our life. By our faith in what
12?
Jesus Christ has done.
No, Romans 5, 1 and 2.
Peace. Another word for peace is rest. Say, I am at rest.
I am at peace.
Because I know that God loves me and has my best interests at heart.
And has my best interests at heart.
Hallelujah. That's a good place to shout. peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by this faith grace, wherein we can stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of
my
God.
Bad.
Mm-hmm. Notice
the wrong
we can
one.
Stand. That word stand means to be diligent. It means not unmovable, unwavering.
I got the wrong one.
Remember Abraham in the Old Testament. You know, he was unwavering in what he believed. He didn't.
Romans 5, 1 and 2.
Said, you know, how can you be the father of many nations? You don't have a son. Your wife is beyond bearing age and you're an old man. How can you do this? Because God said so.
That's right.
He took God at his word.
Amen.
And it proved out. He didn't even live to see the fulfillment of all that. But it still came to pass. God does everything in the fullness of time. And this is the problem that we wrestle with, is because his timing is not always our timing. But it always comes out, and when we read this scripture here, it says, in the hope, we have hope if we know what God has promised to us. And we know what he said, then we have the hope that it's going to work out for us. All things work out for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Do you love God?
Amen.
Then you're called to this purpose.
Amen.
To serve him, to be obedient to him, to love him. And the glory of God is his fulfillment. That's part of the glory of God.
Amen.
I mean, it's many things, but that's one of the things. It's the outcome of what you've been expecting. And it's always yes and amen. It never changes. But here we need to establish our right standing in God. In other words, we need to know who we are.
Amen.
In our born-again relationship with Jesus Christ. This is just what I wrote here. And we need to know the rights and the privileges that we have in this new covenant that we're in. We're not under an old covenant. You know, that's passed away.
Amen.
You know, there are many things that people do and they... And when they get in the Word of God, they look at the Old Covenant, and most of those things that were done in the Old Covenant were never meant for you. I mean, they were in part, but they were written for the Jewish nation. And why does anybody know? Can anyone tell me what it says in the Word of God? Why those rules and laws and things were given to the Jews? What was the ultimate purpose?
To let them know that they could never make it to God on their own.
That's part of it. Anybody else know the bigger picture?
It was a shadow of Jesus.
The Bible says that those laws and rules and regulations were given so the whole world could know God. They were given the task to let the whole earth, every person on earth, know the truth of God. Sometimes they got it, sometimes they didn't. But, you know, in the Old Covenant, it was all based around what they had to do, certain things, and none of those things are wrong. None of those things are bad. You know, it's like, you know, we don't have to worry now on this new covenant of, you know, what day we worship God. I worship Him 7 days a week. But, you know, we can set apart a certain day. It doesn't have to be sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. It doesn't have to be Sunday. It doesn't have to be Monday. It can be Wednesday, Thursday. You know, whatever is convenient. But we need to set apart a time that we all come together and as the body of Christ, that we can build each other up, that we can lift each other up. This is part of standing in the supernatural of God, supernatural power of God. But we need to know who we are. If you don't know who you are, like Marcia gave you a bunch of scriptures, if you got those, if you didn't get a copy, ask her for it. You know, we'll make you copies.
I gave them all out.
Oh, gave them all out. So if anybody didn't get it and you want those, this is a good thing to do to keep yourself built up in the Word of God. It's the Word of God itself. You know, if you have nothing to stand on, you have nothing to base your faith on, then you won't be able to stand very long. You know, I would say probably one of the most valuable things that any person that calls himself a believer should have is a good concordance. Now, you don't have to go out and spend a bunch of money on a Strong's, although I'd say that's probably one of the best ones out there that I've found. You can find things on the internet. You can find words and things. There are other books. You can go to the bookstore and buy ones that are, you know, cheaper. And almost every Bible has a little bit in the back so you can get started. If you don't know, ask somebody else. Maybe somebody else here in the church, you know. I'm not really sure what God says about this certain subject. Do you have any revelation of that from the Word? Well, yeah, this is what this scripture says. This is what this scripture says, and you might. And so, you know, we're all here to help one another. I wanna tell you one thing. Is Mike?
I'll get it.
I knocked something off. My elbow got in the way. What I plan on doing and what I'm in the process of doing is building a team out of you all. Teamwork means that what I want to do is I want to find out what gifts and callings that you have and help you be built up in those things. But here's the thing. If God puts something on your heart to do for the church or in the church or with the church, just come to me and tell me what it is and don't say, well, I've got this, and okay, well, you do it. And you say, well, you know, I wanted you to do it. You know, but no, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now. But there are things that you do. If you're called to do some sort of outreach, or you're called to the prayer ministry, or you're called to the worship team, or you're called to whatever it might be, in whatever aspect that God puts on your heart. Maybe I even told the worship team downstairs today that I want you to give me ideas of how you think that we could do things that would be more effective in the worship team. If God puts something on your heart, I'll do it. Now, my part is this. My part is to come alongside with you and make sure we're all on the same page. That's the teamwork. And let's say, and you're doing things right, so I'm not pointing you, I'm just first thing that came to my mind, is prayer ministry. If you're, you know, Vicki, you know, asked me about it, and I put her in charge of the prayer ministry in this church. She's doing it. Now, my part is to do this, is to make sure that you can tell what somebody believes and how they're praying for other people by the way they pray for themselves. Did you know that? It's kind of like gossip. You know, if you hear somebody gossiping about somebody else, you can be assured that when you're not in the room, they're gossiping about you too, okay? And if you're praying, and you're praying the problem in your life, then guess how you're going to pray for other people?
Amen.
You don't even realize you're doing that. And if I see that in any ministry that anybody is doing, that in, something that's improper, my job and Mary's job, and even Marcia's job and Sonny's job, if they see it, as leaders in this church, as pastors and elders in this church, is to say, okay, this is good, but this is not so good. Let's make sure that we're all doing the same thing, that we have the same focus, because the church is going to grow. We've got a building out there somewhere. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It does. And by faith, we already have it now. But, you know, we have to walk in that belief, and we have to stand fast in that, standing in our faith, and then we will walk in the supernatural power of God. That's just the way it works. But we have to know who we are, and the only way we can find out who we are is by getting in the Word and finding out. That's why Marcia gave you those scriptures. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says this. 1 Corinthians 16:13. It's probably on the board. First Corinthians 16:13. It says, watch or be knowing, beholding, seeing, looking intently, you stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Say, I will be brave. And I will be strong. Because I'm standing fast, diligent, unwavering in my belief in the Word of God. This is telling us to remain in the Word of God and not let ourselves become weary in our faith. You know, that we are not to do that. You know, if you've been a Christian very long, you know that God's timing is not always your timing. Yeah. You know, but He does everything in the fullness of time, that's the Word of God says. And sometimes what happens, if God doesn't show up exactly the time, you know, when the first time we prayed, but here's the thing, I want you to know something. In the Word of God, it talks about Daniel, for instance. This is off my notes, but not on my notes, but Daniel prayed two different prayers. The first time he prayed, it took 3 minutes before the angel Gabriel came to him and answered his prayer. If you read that, I think that's in the 9th chapter of Daniel. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's it. And then later on, he prayed another prayer, and it took 21 days, 3 weeks, before the angel came to him and gave him the Word of God. Now, why was the difference? Well, the Bible says from the very first moment that he prayed the prayer, it was already answered. But there was a... It only took 3 minutes for the first prayer, but it took 21 days or 3 weeks for the second one before he got the answer. Now, I don't know why that is, but God knows. And here's the thing is during that 21-day period, or during the time that you're waiting for God to do something, you may say, well, you know, I prayed this one prayer and I just got an instant answer. You know, but I prayed this one and then all of a sudden the devil's going, well, I guess the Word of God didn't work right, right? And I think that that's what happens. You know, we do, like Mary said, we need patience. Because walking in faith or standing in faith requires patience. Say this with me. I will remain in patience, in rest, knowing that you cannot fail,
and
you will never fail.
And
guess what that means? That means I will never fail. You know, when we walk in eternal life, as we sing about, you know, those lyrics that God gave me, that we're standing in the kingdom, or that we're walking in the kingdom of God. Those are not just good things to sing about. That's the Word of God. It's truth. You are already, the moment that you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, you entered into a new kingdom. The old kingdom, or the old, you know, 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, you know, that we're a new creation. We're not what we once were before. But we have to fight a good fight of faith to make sure that we remain in that. It's not always easy, and the enemy is going to come at you. And the longer that something takes, the more opportunity the devil has to come and knock you down. And what happens is he says, well, I guess, you know, God didn't do this. And what you do is you start getting anxious. That means you start worrying, you start complaining. And then ultimately, if you stay in that state, you'll start begging God to do another miracle in your life. Now, miracles are also, you can make a demand on God's miracles too. Because it's all the same thing. However he chooses to answer, it's the finished work of God. It's already there. But the thing is you've got to say, regardless of how long it takes, you know, you cast down, you resist the lies of the devil, which is anything contrary to the word that you found. If you don't know what the word says on the subject, okay, that's where I talk about getting a concordance or talking to other people that may have scripture to get you. But, you know, it all comes back down to getting in the Word of God. You know, one of the things that I do on a daily basis, this is just what I do, is every morning I'll get in Proverbs. And I'm kind of going through Proverbs, and I start all over and I go through it. And usually I'll read a whole chapter. Now, I'm not saying that's important. You can get, it's a book of wisdom so that you can see what God says. If I do this, this is the result. If I don't do this, this is the result. And you have to just say, I choose to do what is right. I choose to what this says. This is wisdom for me. This is a way that I can stay strong. Now, if it's just a verse or two verses, if something sticks out at you, just do it and just walk through the day and remind yourself of what you read and say, I choose to do this today. I choose to do the right thing because I know this will bear witness to me. Talking about Vicki, she just told me today that she's gotten to the point where she's walking around the house without her cane.
Praise God.
And so it won't be long before, you know, that you'll be doing even more than that. That's an answer to prayer. And like I said, sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it doesn't happen instantaneous, just like with Daniel. It takes, you know, it takes time. But when God knows that everything and all the places are put into place, then it will come to pass. It's like the man or the woman wanting a mate, you know. They rush in because they don't wait on God. And then all of a sudden they get somebody that they're not equally yoked with, which means somebody that doesn't believe the way they believe. And it's much easier if you do it God's way instead of you get in a relationship and then you got to work all that stuff out, right? Anybody found that out when you try to do it your own way or you try to push God to fulfill what you want Him to fulfill in your proper timing and you try to help God out. Remember how that didn't work out for Abraham? You know, I mean, a lot of things that we're going through today, even politically in this world, are because Abraham and his wife tried to do it their way, and it messed things up. Now, here's the thing. Ishmael turned into a nation, and God still blessed that nation. He still blessed them, even though they were not the promise. God still blessed them because that's what God does. He blesses. He doesn't give and take away. He gives and He gives and He gives. If you want to know one of the greatest principles in the Word of God, it's giving. Now, we're not doing, you know, seed time and harvest. We're not talking about just finances. Finances should be part of your giving, yes. You should support the kingdom of God. But, you know, everything that you do, you give, but you give out a heart of love. If you're not walking in love, what does the word say you are? A sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. In other words, the things that you say are not worth anything if you're not. Now, here's a scripture, and I'm going to have you quote this a number of times because this is one of the ways that you'll get built up in faith. It's Galatians 6:9. If you want to turn there in your own Bible, you can. or you can read it off of the screen. Galatians 6, 9, verse 9. It says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season," or the fullness of time, as I talked about before, "we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Now say that with me. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Say it again, out of your heart, not just out of your mind. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Once again, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And one more time, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Do you feel that when you're saying the Word of God? Do you feel something rising up on the inside of you? If you're starting to get in fear and unbelief, I would say go back to the Scripture and use it. It's a key. This Scripture here is a key to building yourself up and keeping yourself built up. So the enemy has, if you're built up and you're strong, you know, and you're standing in the Word of God, you know the devil is already lost. He already is lost, but he has nothing that he can attack you with. But, you know, we need to do these things. And another thing is praying in the Holy Ghost. If you're baptized, if you're a Christian, then you know that your spirit man is seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father right now. And your physical man has inherited the Holy Spirit inside of your heart. So now, if you don't pray in tongues, you're cutting yourself off from wisdom and mysteries. The Bible says that when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you're praying mysteries. They're not mysteries to God, but they may be a mystery to you. Now, if I were, I didn't do that downstairs today, but if I had in worship prayed in the Holy Spirit or sang in the Holy Spirit, that would require an interpretation. But when you're praying in the Holy Spirit yourself, it's not required. You can just say, "I just know that I prayed something that's good for me. I prayed something that God is going to answer." But God, you know, I would like to know, you know, what I'm praying so I can be in agreement with what you're telling me. Now, you can do that, and God will, but that takes practice. That takes doing it. You don't just pray in the Holy Ghost one time, you know, and it's like being filled with the Holy Spirit. You were baptized in the Holy Spirit once, but daily, I would say, we need a little filling because we can leak out. You know, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, but that seal can get a little loose sometimes. You ever, anybody besides myself ever encountered that?
Never.
I don't think I'm the only one, you know, and I've got to do that, but you know, we need to build ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. Here's the Scripture, Jude 1:20-21 says this: "But you, beloved," who are the beloved?
Us,
the church, "building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, and waiting anxiously for the mercy of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, to eternal life." A number of things are said here. First of all, the love of God is how you know that you're walking in the Word of God, because the Word of God is love, and His Word is love. And here's something, too. When you're walking in the power of the Word of God, you are the Word of God. I know you're going, "Well, that doesn't make any sense." Well, you are. You are what the Word of God says you have, and what the Word of God says you are. So what does this make you every time you speak the Word of God? You're speaking who you are. You know, just like Marcia had said, you know, in those Scriptures. You're speaking who God has made you to be. Don't accept anything else, and whatever it takes to keep yourself in that reality, do whatever it takes. Here's another thing. This is Ephesians 6, verse 13 and 14, not 16 this time. Ephesians 6, verses 13 and 14. If you want to go to your own Bible, you can do that. You can read it off the screen. I'm pretty sure he has it there. It says, therefore, what is therefore, therefore? If you know what we've just been talking about, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that you... So that you will be able to resist the lies or the fiery darts of the devil in the evil day or the day when the attack comes to your spirit or comes into your life. Having done all you know to do, these things that we've talked about, stand immovable, unwavering, and firm, diligent, therefore having girded your loins, that's your heart, both your physical heart and your spiritual heart, being in the truth of the Word of God, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You are already righteous because God made you righteous. But you got to stand in that. You got to tell yourself that. You got to keep yourself built up in that daily. And the full armor of God really is the Word of God. And as you stand strong in the Word of God, you become the very Word that you're saying. And it becomes so powerful in you that the devil has no recourse but to back down. He will back down if you resist him. You know, you may think, well, you know, I've been fighting this battle for years, or I've been fighting this battle for weeks or days or hours. It doesn't matter. The answer is always yes and amen with God. He will not change His Word. He will not go back on the promises He made. But you have to do things. You know, I would say, you know, once again, go back to that Galatians 6:9. In fact, let's say it again. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Say it again. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The more you do that, the more you pray in the Holy Spirit, the more you find some wisdom from, say, like Proverbs or any place else, the more your spirit man will grow. You know, a lot of you have heard me say this, but actually the New Testament actually starts in 1 Thessalonians, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as is the custom. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but I mean, as far as the new covenant, you know, the where Paul received the revelation from Jesus, that actually starts in 1 Thessalonians. That would be a good book just to kind of weed yourself through, you know, and just take it verse by verse and break it down. That's a good study for you. Any place you get the Word of God is a good study for you. Remember, Jesus has made you righteous. Whether you feel like you're righteous or not has nothing to do with anything. That's just your feelings. That's just your emotions. But you have to continue in these things and begin to stand and live in them. And if you're standing in these truths, then you're standing in the supernatural power of God. God, or the devil, cannot stop the supernatural power of God. Nobody can stop it except you. It doesn't matter what other people say about you. It's what you say about you that matters. Only you can walk in the power of God, and only you can break that covenant. Now, what happens if you do, the instantaneous issue, you just, if you pick up a bad thought, and it comes out of your mouth, say, I'm sorry, God, that's not who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing is impossible with me because I believe. You need to build yourself up. Start praying in the Holy Ghost, doing whatever you do. Quote that scripture in Galatians again another 10 times if you need to do it. Whatever it takes to stay strong in it, because the thing is, if you don't, in the course of time, if you don't spend time daily, even if it's just a couple of verses in the Word of God, I'd say, you know, it doesn't matter whether you do your quiet time in the morning, in the afternoon, or the evening, you need to spend some time in the Word of God every single day. Because the further you get away from spending time with God, even if it's a matter of a day, the more opportunity you're giving the devil to come in and tell you something and try to convince you of a lie. And we don't want that. You know, if we're going to build a team here, and we are, and if we want to be effective in the world, then we need to walk, first of all, in the love of God, knowing that we are loved. I want you to say something. God is love.
God is love.
God loves me.
God loves me.
And now it's something real radical. I love myself.
I love myself.
Say, I love myself.
I love myself.
Point to yourself and say, I love me.
I love me.
Because God loves me.
Because God loves me.
Doesn't that feel good to know? Because many people say, well, you know, I don't love myself. You know, but the Bible says that everyone loves himself. You know, that that we do love ourselves because no one... The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Word of God, by what Jesus did on the cross for us. But if we're going to stand in the supernatural power that God has given us, we have to constantly stay focused on the Word of God. Folks, there's no other way. But if you continue in these things and you begin to stand in the supernatural power of God, it's like that song that we sang today, You're a Good, Good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who we are. It's who I am. Those two different stanzas. It says, in the first verse, it says, I've heard 1,000 stories of what they, who's they, the world, thinks that you are like. In other words, in their natural carnal mind, this is what they think you're like. And that you are like. I've heard 1,000 questions that only you can answer, that only you can provide the answer to. And that's what God says. The problem is, you will give the only answer, or this is the only answer that you will should give to everyone else around you. If you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and you tell them that God is the only answer that you need, and that He loves you right where you are, but He loves you too much to stay where you are, and there's a way out of every situation. Now, because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, now that you've been built up in the Word of God, you can talk. You know, the Bible says that it's foolishness to the natural mind, the Word of God. But, you know, now with the Holy Spirit inside of you, you're not speaking to them with your natural mind any longer. You may be using words, but those words are influenced and empowered by the Holy Spirit, by the truth of His Word. And whatever God says to the problem that you give the answer to, that you need, those promises are the only natural answer that you need. It also says in that song that you're never alone, that God is with us. He said that He is always with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never turn His backs on that. You need to build yourself up in that fact that no matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like, even if it's like, well, this is contrary to everything I've read in the Word of God, you say, but I choose to believe it. I choose to stand in it, no matter how long it may take. See, if you're willing to stand forever, then it won't take that long.
You know? Kenneth Hagin, I better write that down.
Now, what's the prayer that you had us pray that you received, you know, that if you give if you give the problem to God, it's no longer your problem.
Yeah.
It's in Hosea, I think.
No.
Or wherever it was. But anyway, if you give the problem to God, it's no longer your problem. You've given it to Him. You've given it to His Word. Now, it is yours to stand in that. It's yours and to do that. Because the answer is already there for us, and it will never pass away. So we're not alone in this process. You know, the Word of God is always with us. Remember, if you give the problem to Jesus, then the problem is not yours, like we just said. Start looking. Here's another way to keep yourself built up in your faith. Do you know when you're talking to somebody else and you're ministering to somebody else and you're helping somebody else with their problem, it's hard to be focused on yourself.
Yes.
It's kind of like, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost, and then all of a sudden you open up your mouth and you start speaking. Well, what happens? It's like counting. You've heard these examples, counting 1 to 10, you know, in your mind, and then I tell you to see a black dog, and you say, I see a black dog, what happened to your counting? It ending because you put another thought in your mind. So just, you know, if you're praying for someone else, here's one thing that you need to know. You need to expect that when you pray for somebody else, that what you're praying for them is going to come to pass. That's standing in the supernatural power of God. Realize that when you see somebody in the grocery store and God says, just go over there and tell that person that God loves them and I love you, and if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to pray with you if you have anything. If they don't want prayer, then okay. Just say, thank you. I just wanted to let you know that I love you. And God loves you whether you realize it or not. And you've done your work. You've done the works that Mary and Marcia were talking about. Those are works that just naturally flow out of you. They're not things that you have to do. You know, you don't have to climb on your knees up a bunch of stairs and beat yourself in the back. You don't have to observe this day or that day. You don't have to do all of these things that the world says that you have to do, because you're not of this world. You live in it. But you're not of this world. That's the thing that you need to realize, that you walk in another kingdom.
Amen.
You're already there, folks.
Yeah.
You're already there. I'm already there. The answer has already been taken care of. It's been written. And what's been written by the Word of God can never be undone.
That's right.
So don't undo it. You know, be forceful. Be strong. It says that the body of Christ suffers violent, but the violent, those who are determined, those who are not going to give up, attack it by faith. We use strong faith. You remember we just read a scripture a little bit ago about being strong. You know, if you go back and find that, you know, read that scripture. I choose to be strong in the faith. This is my choice. I choose not to be weak, but I choose to be strong. And as I do that, then I can accomplish great things for the Lord. There was a scripture that we talked about without the Holy Spirit, which is 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, but the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised or understood. But you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So that problem has been taken care of. Use it. Use it when you're talking to people. Now, what was once foolishness to them, the opportunity has been given for them to receive the truth. Don't argue with people. Don't debate over pet philosophies and doctrines. Just love them. As you love people out of your heart and love for them, the answers will come if you do not give up. Now, this is going to be a short message today, and intendedly. I don't know where we are, but I know I'm probably going faster than I normally do, even though I've expanded. I just have that sense, because kids aren't up here. Oh, we don't have kids. But then nobody has said, well, you're going long, so I guess I haven't. Or else you're just being kind to me. But 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? As he will instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Say that with me. I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
I have
the
mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. And I am the Word of God. Because that's where I live.
Can I share the Amplified?
Sure.
Of that?
Absolutely.
So good.
I'll read it.
Okay, I lost it. What verse was it again?
That was
2:16.
2:16. 1 Corinthians 2:16.
For who has known or understood the mind,
the counsels and purposes of the Lord so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge. But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart.
Love
that's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's really, heart. Really good. That's really good. In fact, that's so good. Read it again if you haven't already closed your book.
For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the heart of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart.
We have
Amen.
The same thoughts as
Amen.
Him. We have the same thoughts as Jesus. In the Old Testament... In the Old Testament, when it said in Isaiah, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Well, that was Old Testament. Now, since, you know, that was before the cross. After the cross, we have the same thoughts. We have the same thoughts because Jesus has died. So now that he's died and you know, risen and everything, we got the Holy Spirit, we got the mind of Christ.
Amen.
So when you see that scripture, you know, that was before the cross. This is after, you know, we got, this is what we just read, what Marcia just read, is after the cross. We have the same mind as Christ.
Amen.
We have the same mind. We're healed. We're delivered. We're set free. We're joyful. We're prosperous. We're more than conquerors. We can do all things. That's what's
Amen.
In Jesus' mind.
Amen.
Exactly. This is what's in Jesus' mind.
Amen.
Everything,
Amen.
It, you know. That's it.
And knowing that, and standing, or even better than just standing, and walking in the supernatural power of God, and by doing all these things that I just mentioned to you earlier, you know, if you need to know or you want my notes, we'll find a way to
get
them to
you. Can I say something about, you know, standing in the supernatural and standing, and you know, I heard Creflo say this, and it was so... You know, it could have been Andrew. I don't know which one. I watched both of them. You know, the world, patience. You know, the world thinks that patience is sitting in a red light and just waiting.
No.
Putting up with.
No.
Putting up with. That's not patience. That's the world's definition of patience. Patience for a Christian today is... I don't care what the checkbook says. God says he supplies all of my need according to his riches and glory. I'm not putting up with it. I'm just agreeing what the word says. Patience isn't, well, you know, the world's, you know, I'm putting up with his body. No. That's what the world says. You know, we'll compromise and get drugs and everything for, you know, we'll negotiate, you know, and manage the disease. The world, that's what the world
says. The world and medical profession.
A Christian says, I don't care what you say. By his stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
That's patience.
Hear what the liar says.
Patience is being consistently constant no matter what, because when that shield, when they throw that dart at you, you put your shield up and say, uh-uh. You know, you can throw as many fiery darts as you want at me, but I'm putting my shield up and saying, uh-uh. He says he supplies all of our need. Uh-uh. He says that by his stripes I'm healed. Uh-uh. I'm not depressed. I have the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
So every time that fiery dart, I'm going to do a piece on that. Every time a fiery dart, do you know that they call it, in the Amplified, they call them missiles? Now, missiles can kill you. If you don't put up that shield of faith, which is the word of God, then those missiles, you know, they call them fiery darts in the King James, but they can kill you. They can physically kill you, destroy you, because that's what the devil is a missile, a fiery dart that wants to come and kill, steal, and destroy you.
The Word of God says that a curse without a cause cannot stand.
A curse can't stand.
Can't stand. Now, the reason I said I like the walking goes right along with what Mary said about patience. Because patience isn't sitting like waiting at a stoplight. It's moving forward. It's really moving forward. We're walking and we're standing. We're actually taking an active stand in what we believe.
we're going the extra mile. And after all, then whenever we talk to people, whenever we minister to people, we will see, if we expect this and we know this, God answering those prayers and those requests that we give. After all, that's what we were created to do. And everything that we have, they'll have.
And you know,
and everything that we receive from God, they'll receive from God if we stay standing and walking firm in God. Go ahead.
What God showed me was that when the violent take it by force, I mean, when I read that, it probably means something else, but what I got out of it is that it doesn't matter how hard the fiery darts come, you put your field, I'm taking my healing by force.
Just think of the shield.
The shield.
What's a fiery dart going to do? It's just going to bounce off.
Yeah, it's going to go back on him, and that's how we take it by force. We just put up our shield. That's the force. That's all we have to do.
It's a good fight.
But it's
a good fight.
You know, it sounds, so easy. Just lift the word of God up. The shield of faith. But how hard it is for some people? I mean, really, not just, I'll tell you what, it's hard for me sometimes. I don't want to put my shield up because I'm too prideful or something, and I just want to just come on.
It's
easier.
We hear death commercials and stuff.
Oh, my God. That's when you put your shield of faith up, because that stuff is coming into your senses.
So you have a mute button on your
remote
control. I can't look at them or hear
them. I know what they're saying.
As those drugs things are, faith comes by hearing. And that means it can be negative. So the more you hear those drug things, then you're all of a sudden. Have you ever sat there and listened to one, and then they give the symptoms, and you go,
"Oh my God, why would you?"
I'm thinking in my head, "Wow, I had that symptom. Maybe I've got it." It's like that's what he does. You put that, you go, by his stripes I'm healed. And I hate those things. I hate them.
The armor of God is walking in the spirit, not walking in the flesh.
Exactly.
That's sense knowledge opposed to spirit knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't know the word, you're going to be weak.
And you're going to be eaten alive.
It's in you, but you don't know how to exercise it if you don't ever get in the word, you don't know what his word says.
Exactly.
You need to know at least a couple of scriptures that you can speak when the liar comes.
Amen.
You better know some scriptures that you can, that's what helps you bring up that shield of faith. Because you speak the word against it, the lies come. They're not going to stop coming. But you can negate them so much quicker when you know the word and can speak the word.
You go back to that scripture I gave you in Galatians, and just over and over and over and over again, and you'll start feeling, sensing, something is rising in me, and that's your faith.
And just knowing. You're going to know that scripture when you keep saying it over and over again, and then it's going to be part of the armor of God for you.
That's right.
It's going to be what you speak.
That's right.
The word is sharper than a two-edged sword.
It's living. Every time you speak to yourself, by Jesus Christ, I'm healed. That's life. It says in Proverbs, the word is life unto your bones and marrow.
So
every time you speak that, it's living. It's an action. It's doing something right then and there. You might not see it, and hear it or whatever, but it's life.
It's life.
Amen. It's living. It's active right now. So every time you speak a word to you or to somebody else, you're speaking life. You're speaking life.
Point I didn't say, but we've said it many times over the last couple of years, is forgiving. If you've got something that, even if somebody has done you wrong, you feel like, I have a right to be mad, but you don't have you've got to forgive whether you feel like it or not. And it doesn't matter what the situation is or what the circumstance is, because you're just harming yourself. Usually, if you come to find out, most of the time the people that you're upset with don't even know. All right? You know, they're just focused on something else, and you're the one that's always hurting. But just don't allow that. And you've got to forgive yourself. Like I said, you've got to learn to say, I love myself. I love myself. Because God is love, and God is, His love's been shed abroad in your heart. So you love everyone, including yourself. But you have to stay, like we've just said over and over again, a lot of repetition in things that we do. This is called discipleship, folks. This is what discipleship is all about, is to get you out of stinking thinking and get you, as Kenneth Hagin once said, and walk in the truth of God's Word.
Meditation.
Pure thinking.
Meditation.
Righteous thinking. Holy thinking. Because this is who you are. Now think on those things. There you go.
You are lovely and holy and good.
This is what's at the heart of what Richard does every, you know, we say he's our resident encourager, because it's always the Word of God. You know, how many times we said it, he said at school when we walk in, and, you know, that I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord.
Amen.
Finally, one of the students called him on it and says, well, what does that mean? And so we had to explain that. But, you know, we sing that now. We turned it into a song.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sang it today because, you know, we are, and if you go back and find that song and the other stuff that I added to it, you know, in the grace of God, you know, we're in our place through faith, through grace. We're in our place standing, you know, in that, knowing that. But it, anyway, love you guys. And we're going to...
Oh, is she on your bed?
Yeah.
15 minutes early.
Yeah,